Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Reading from Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Let's give thanks for these words, particularly what they tell us and what we can have by faith. Our Father, again we give thanks for what has been given. We give thanks also for what we can have, even at this moment, that we can come before Thee to a throne of grace to find help in time of need, that we can come to that throne through another, through a mediator, through one who has paid that great price in Thy love, in His love, He dying, but also rising again, and He now making intercession for us. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that we might be included in that number of whom Thou art making intercession for believers, for Thy children, and we believe also making intercession that others will come to be brought into Thy body, as Thou hast stated, that I will build my church, and as it also has been stated long before Thy coming down to earth, Thou art sitting on the right hand of the Father, waiting for the enemies to be made Thy footstool. And we think of the one who wrote these words here, Paul, who was an enemy, persecuting, but was willingly made Thy footstool, asking what Thou wouldst have him to do, as well as wanting to know who Thou art, and knowing that Thou art Jesus, given that name, because Thou wilt save Thy people from their sin. And we pray that we might not only be forgiven for our sin, but saved also from the power of it, especially in our day, that the church might be revived, that it might come away from sin and doctrine and sin and practice that we are guilty of with the rest of the nation and the rest of the world. Sometimes in negligence, not doing what we should be doing, and sometimes sin in doing what we should not be doing. And as Paul could say of himself, the good I would I do not, or the evil that I would not, that I do. And certainly if it was true of him, how much more we should realize the truth of that for ourselves. And we pray that Thou would open our eyes to do so, and that we may not just see the sin in others, but in ourselves, not just at this time in government, as we have seen our nation going from one sin to another, worse and worse, sins already of many years, and sins more of the recent years, adding to it, that has not been repented of and not been changed, that we may come to Thee as our Creator, that we may come to Thee as our Lawgiver, and then that we may know the need, the great need, of coming to Thee as the Redeemer. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt teach us in the church, first of all, Thy Word, where we need to take the beam out of our own eye first, that we may do so, especially the beam of pride that can be in the church, thinking we are better than the rest of the world or the rest of the nation. And oftentimes, we are sadly walking with them, and even more guilty when we know Thy truth and they do not, and then we disobey with them and allow the world to come into the church as it has done, and our homes being broken, and the church allowing it, the church not speaking up against it, the church agreeing with it in many ways, both in written words and even in the practice. And we pray that we might recognize that truth of Thy word, that what Thou hast joined together, let not man put asunder, and also the truth and the ways of breaking up the home, the divorce, the remarriage, what Thy word teaches us. We pray for Thy Spirit to lead us into all truth. We pray especially that Thou would be with the children in the broken homes that are often so troubled, some having taken their own lives. And we pray that we might see this great problem in our nation, and that often the problem begins there and not with government. We pray, Father, that we might see the church and the home, and then our individual lives as well, for both. We pray also, Father, for the temporal needs in the body, those that are sick, that they might have healing. We pray for the hungry. We pray for the homeless. We pray for the war-torn lands. We pray for those who are persecuted, that they might have peace in the heart when they have problems and persecutions in the body. We pray, Father, for other needs that there are in the schools, in the workplace, in every place, all through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. As we continue in these words of Paul, and especially this part of this eighth chapter, a very wonderful chapter, but also a searching chapter, and a chapter of which many professing to be part of the body of Christ do not believe. Do not believe that that has a very important part in their becoming part of the church, which we read twice the word predestination. We'll come to that later. But there have been those who have been recognized evangelists, pastors, leaders, that have gone against that word and what it implies, what it teaches, and what it actually is, predestination, predetermined by God, and other related subjects with it. But we'll come to that later. I know that by experience, going against it, and then having to submit to it, thankfully, God bringing to that place, as he said by the pen of the psalmist, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And I'm so thankful that God has that power. There's one evangelist who said God is powerless unless you let him. What a terrible statement. What a wrong statement. God powerless? Not at all. Not at all. Just think. He has power to send you and I to hell today. And we couldn't say a word. We deserved it. We might say, well, I'm saved. Yes, that's a wonderful thing. A needful thing. A great blessing. And if we're truly saved, we won't go to hell. But what about the statements? If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Would you dare to say you hadn't sinned willfully? Carelessly? Foolishly? There's many warnings in Scripture. Search ourselves. And we are to do that. And I need to do it. Others have done it, as I mentioned in our previous message. Some of them searching themselves every night, as Mr. Shepherd, one of our early settlers here in this country. So we need to think of that, along with what Paul gives us here in our present Scriptures. First of all, telling us the problems in the 22nd verse, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together until now. The whole creation, literally every nation in the world today, is troubled. Much trouble. Much, much. We can go to the nations that have had blessings in the past, knowing the word, part of what was called the Reformation, both in Europe and England, and many blessings following. But today, the church is very small, very weak, troubled. The enemies are taking over. Some areas are not safe to travel. There are those who deny Christ Jesus as the Son of God that are in control of areas that are in every country. Some countries terribly, terribly persecuted. Northern Africa, many people driven out of their villages, homeless. Men killed, women, children taken captive. Certainly, they are groaning worse than we are. We have much blessing in our country, particularly where I live. Blessings in nature. Blessings still of freedom and peace that we pray for. And are to pray, as Paul says, pray for those in authority that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. We see the cloud on the horizon of those that talk and speak about taking away the peace, taking away the voice of those that have the way of the past more than the way of the present and the way that some want for the future, clinging to what are called sometimes conservative ideas, which we might rather call true or false. Much we have the difference between both in the church and in the nation, what are called liberal and conservative. The church has become more liberal through the years and not returned to the older ways, as Jeremiah calls it, the old paths. I sometimes identify the word liberal with loose with the truth. And loose with the truth can be identified with a further statement, lies. Yes, liberal ways of denying what is right. We are liberal with the holy word of God when it says thou shalt not kill, or better translated, thou shalt not murder. And we do it, and we call it a right. Right now, while we're talking, little babies are being murdered. I don't know how many in this half hour on the radio, but quite a few throughout the day. Thousands a day murdered. And we have a liberal view. And we have a liberal government that has been voted in by liberal people, loose with the truth. Here is our hope in this scripture. And we need to come to it in the way that Paul does here and say, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain until now. Think of the example of it. Think of Daniel groaning. Daniel not eating any pleasant food or drink. Humbling himself, dust and ashes, not only for minutes, not only for hours, but days, and even weeks. Daniel, the one of whom we sing, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Yes, when Daniel prayed over the sins of the nation, he said, and I prayed for my sin, mine. That should be the largest. That should be the one that bothers us the most. My sin. As Paul could say, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. In light of that, we ought to groan all the sins of the past. My many years, many, many, many sins. And this, and that, and that. Not loving God with all the heart, with all the soul, with all the mind. Sometimes not even thinking about it. Thinking about self. As Paul says to Timothy, these last days will have perilous times. Men will be lovers of their own self. How much do we do that's just in relation to self? What I want to do, what I need, what I like. And Paul says to the Corinthians, whether you eat or whether you drink, do all to the glory of God. Yes, those lesser things as well as the great things, all to the glory of God. How often we do things without the fear of God, without the thought of God. But when it comes, when God gives the blessing through Christ of He being a prophet to us and rebuking us, chastening us, as he said to the church at Laodicea, as many as I love, I chasten and rebuke, then we know that our own part of the creation will groan and travail in pain together until now. But God doesn't leave us there. Those that have that teaching, when we groan under our sin, like Pilgrim and Pilgrim's Progress, carrying that weight on his back. If you've ever seen Pilgrim's Progress drawn in pictures, you would see Christian walking with a burden on his back, walking, 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 until he came to the cross, and there the burden fell off. When we read of Hopeful's conversion, he also had the great burden of sin, until praying one day, seeing his sin, even as worse than ever before, God gave him Christ. Christian could say to Hopeful, that truly was a revelation of Christ to your soul. And that brings what follows this 22nd verse. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. When God sets us free, when He gives us a pardon, when we are saved, yes, saved, the Lord Jesus came to save that which was lost. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. To save them, He was given that name. Jesus, He shall save His people from their sin. Cornelius, a man that was blessed, recognized in prayer, giving alms, had to hear words from Peter by which he would be saved. And you and I, we need to be saved by another. We cannot save ourselves, not by works of righteousness which we have done. That is what the Spirit teaches. That is the first fruits of the Spirit. Some of the very first fruits of the Spirit are, as Christ said the night before He died, record in John chapter 16. When the Spirit comes, He will reprove the world of sin because you believe not on Me. We believe in ourself. We might believe in Christ with it. We might believe there was a historic Jesus. Yes, there's many people who do not believe that Jesus was the Son of God, the promised Messiah. I've heard professors of seminary say, yes, He was a good teacher, but He was not the Messiah. And there are others who write, and you can read it in their books. Anyone that believes that Jesus was the Son of God is cursed. They believe in Jesus, a prophet, a lesser prophet than the one they claim to be the greater prophet. They believe in Him, but not at all in a right way, in a dishonorable way, in an unscriptural way, terrible way, a terrible way. And we can all come short of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ as He truly is. What will happen when we know it rightly? Psalm 2 speaks of Christ, God giving Him the resurrection, and that stating, Father, rejoice with trembling. That's what the message of Christ should bring us to. Rejoice that there's a Savior. Rejoice that there's a hope when we are in this place. We groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. I must have a different place. I'm a child of Satan. I walk with the spirit of disobedience, as the Ephesians said, as described in Ephesians chapter 2. And we have to come out of it. David knew it when he was in a horrible pit. He cried to the Lord. He waited on the Lord. And God took him out. Gave him a hope within the pit to be taken out. And then placed on the only hope in the world, the rock, Christ Jesus. David said, He placed my feet on a rock and put a new song in my mouth, even praise to God. How wonderful it is that we, who have with Isaiah unclean lips, can have the sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. Thy wings shall my petition bear to Him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since He bids me seek His face, believe His word and trust His grace, I'll cast on Him my every care and wait for Thee, sweet hour of prayer. We don't do it rightly. By nature we do it like the Pharisee that Christ spoke of, and by God's teaching we can begin to do it like the publican. Both of them were there. One prayed thus with himself, and the other prayed to God as the guilty sinner that he was. And that's what takes place when we have what we read here in this 8th chapter, the 23rd verse, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. First of all, we wait like David did on the Lord to come out of the pit and on the rock, to come from lost to saved. And then, after we're saved, we still know with Paul, as he could say, the chief of sinners, as he could say in the earlier chapter here, chapter 7, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He knew the answer was Christ, but he also knew, as we read here, waiting for the adoption of our body. Our body, the flesh that we live in, strives against the Spirit. Paul says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, our body. We then wait for a new body, a resurrected body, a body in which there is no sin, all of it, hands, feet, everything in it, clings towards sin, goes towards sin, doesn't want to submit to the Spirit, strives against the Spirit. That's the teaching of God's holy word. And if you don't believe that of yourself, then you don't believe what God is speaking to you of yourself. We can believe about Christ. When He comes, He will convict the world of sin. And Christ is of sin because they believe not on Me. I was reading a book yesterday, talked about grace. grace there, grace in the Bible. But then he also speak of grace in you. What a difference to know there is grace, but having grace. There is great grace to be experienced. We can read that in Acts chapter 4. They had great grace, but they didn't always have it. The apostles, when they argued among themselves who were the greatest, they didn't have it earlier. Great ideas, great pride, great enmity, great strife, but not great grace in them. We may believe great grace came later, when they were in one accord in prayer and supplication. And oh, how we need that now. How we need it in our nation, that the church will be one. We pray for our government. But does the government see a church that's one? Does the government see in the church the knowledge that God sent Christ? That's what Christ prayed for 4 times, that they might be one, that the world will know that the Father has sent Christ. He said the world will know that they are one, even as he and the Father are one. And that's where, first of all, the church begins to experience more of the love of God, more of the first fruits of the Spirit that Paul is talking about. John also speaks of having fellowship one with another, walking in the light. But he says if we walk in darkness, then we do lie. In God there is no darkness. And warns about hating our brother. If any man say he loved God and hate his brother, he is a liar. And without repentance, all liars go to hell. Those that say I love God can be liars. If someone would ask me, 80 years ago, if I love God, I would have said, yes, I love God. I love him much as anybody else, which was probably true. But I didn't love him any more than anybody else, which was also true. And God tells us by the pen of John, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be the propitiation for our sins. As we go through this 8th chapter, let's not forget sin, as it was in chapter 1, 2, and 3. Forgiveness, as it was in the last part of the 3rd chapter, and the wonderful statement of the 5th chapter. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, sins forgiven, but not necessarily delivered from all the power of sin. There still is that struggle in sanctification. There is that which Paul says here, even ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. And then, that is a hope. We read, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? The words of David from Psalm 16, therefore my heart is glad, my glory also rejoiceth, my flesh also shall rest in hope. He had the hope of the resurrection of Christ and of himself. Do you have that? Has there been a resurrection in your life? And is there hope of the future resurrection for your life, for your body? If there is that hope, we will say with the songwriter, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I thy consolation share, till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height, I view my home and take my flight.
For listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise